morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. It's good that we can still gather. Things are a bit strange still, but we're still the people of God. God is still God. The Word of God is still the Word of God. Prayer is still powerful. God's wonderful invitation to us. We can sing, and thank you, musicians. We can encourage each other. So it's good to see you. And don't you love the Psalms? There's so much that is wonderful and a gift to us in the Word of God, obviously, but the Psalms, and we've mentioned it before, I call it gut theology. It's the truth about God, but coming out of the experience of life, people's real life struggles and joys expressed here. And that this can be the Word of God. It's not just nice and neat and tidy. It's real. And that tells us something about our God and how He speaks to us and works with us. So we're thankful for the Psalms. Shall we pray before we launch into this one? Psalm 90. Let's pray. Oh God, we do thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for this part of Your Word, Psalm 90 here. And we pray also for our heads and for our hearts. And that You would, by Your Spirit, be working in us and speaking to us, encouraging us, challenging us, changing us to be more the people You call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so if you've got it there, do open it up. Psalm 90. Thinking about this psalm in the context of what's going on today. I mean, today, there are so many things, aren't there, in our everyday lives that have just become part of our lives that we wouldn't have dreamed about 2 years ago. We wouldn't have imagined it. I mean, it's only a couple of years ago, and you would have heard this kind of thing before, so bear with me. But, you know, masks, they were things we saw in hospitals or sometimes on the streets or in the airports of some Asian countries, masks. What about travel restrictions and sometimes the ability to even see our loved ones? Sometimes even just in the next state. I mean, who would have dreamed the Queensland border kind of issue? Wouldn't have dreamed of it, would we? Did you see it coming? And what about Zoom? Now, some people were using Zoom, but most of us weren't. And it's just so common now. And the whole work from home thing, how massively that has changed for so many people. It's only a few weeks ago that, I don't know about you, but I thought rats were those furry creatures that make us squirm, you know? Who would have thought that you could go down to the local servo and buy 5 rats for $55, you know, soon to be $60, soon to be $65, soon to be completely impossible to get? And who would have dreamed? All this kind of disruption. Who has had plans changed multiple times in the last 2 years? I mean, what's a plan? It's just a bad joke at the moment, isn't it? So much uncertainty. But not just uncertainty, is it? We're not just talking about inconveniences, although a lot of it is that. But right before our eyes, in a way that for many of us it wasn't the case only a couple of years ago, is the transience of life. The transience of life itself. It's always been there. And some of us have been good at seeing it more clearly than others. But for many of us, our sense of security has been stolen away. Yeah, thankfully it seems that most people today who catch this disease, COVID, will just feel yuck for a few days. But, you know, the rising numbers in our hospitals, including just down the road here and in ICUs, and sadly for some even death, even in our beautiful part of the world, these things are real. And we're seeing them. And there's all of this. But then there's all the normal struggles of life. And all the other upsets that people face at different times before any of this came along for us. And it can, no matter what it is for you or for all of us, it can be difficult. It can be disorienting. it can be unsettling. It can make us anxious or afraid. Sometimes it can turn our world upside down. So what do we do with all of that? As the people of God, what does this mean? What do we do with it as God's people? Well, God's word reminds us, as it will today, it reminds us that we don't need to fear. In fact, the uncertainty and the transience of life should compel us towards God Himself. Because He is the one place, and it's always been this way, no matter how we felt, He is the one place where we can find the safety and the security for which we yearn. Just God. And it starts here. And if we look at the first two verses again in our psalm, God is eternal, the eternity of God. Verses 1 and 2, follow them with me if you've got Bibles there. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. See, no matter what, God is God. He's unchanging. He's our rock. And that image here, our dwelling place. What do you think about that as an image for God? Our dwelling place. It's like our home. How do you feel? You know, you've had a tough day at work, or you've been out and about doing all kinds of things, and you arrive home. Hopefully for you, there's something special about arriving home. It's a place of safety, isn't it, for most of us? A place of security. Maybe you've got a little puppy dog that runs up and is just excited to see you. Maybe you've got little children even. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just a place that is safe, where you can rest and recuperate. God as our dwelling place. How does that feel? And not just today, from generation to generation. And this is described here, you might have noticed at the beginning of the psalm, it's described as a prayer of Moses. So let's think about that and put ourselves in Moses' shoes. You can imagine him as he led the people of God through the wilderness, through the desert for, you know, 40 years. He would have seen, and the imagery here in these first couple of verses, before the mountains were born, he would have seen those mountains rising up before him in the desert, in the wilderness, ancient, immovable, impenetrable. The one who is our dwelling place is the Creator God, immovable. The Creator God from before time even began, our dwelling place. Now we can know this, we all know this, don't we? If we've been Christians for a while, and yet we kind of forget it. We forget it in the sense that somehow we still allow the changing circumstances of life to come in and become our focus. And so we become unsettled. We allow these things to unsettle us. Our security, friends, our security isn't in our circumstances, is it? Our security is in our unchanging God, our unchanging eternal God. Okay. Now, a bit of perspective, next three verses, four verses. Our life, God is eternal. Our lives are fleeting. They are. Verses 3 to 6. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Now there's a contrast, is it not? The eternity, the unchanging nature of God, and yet we are like dust. We are like the grass. Our lives are as fleeting and transient and temporary as the new grass. Now, I've got a picture here, if it can come up. Can you see what that is? I can't hear very well, there's a fan here, but it's basil, right? And we've never been good at growing things, but we planted some basil and it went like crazy, right? It was wonderful, and so we thought we were pretty clever. But you only need, this is still green, it's still looking okay, but that's like one day of sunshine without rain, and it's extremely wilted. I don't know if you can see that there compared to what it was. It's just so fragile, in some ways so temporary. It's kind of like the new grass. It's kind of like our lives. Our lives are fleeting. You know, we think 2 years is a long time. Has this pandemic been going on and on every year? You know, it's like, is it going to be different this year? We think 2 years is a long time. In God's eyes, 1,000 years are like a day. We need some perspective, don't we? Now, some people say we have you ever heard this one? We have a culture, in Western society especially, a culture of denial of death. We live as though we're not actually going to die. Surely if we lived in the light of the reality of death, many of us would live very differently. We'd have different priorities. Different things would matter to us. That's what they mean when they say we live in a culture of denial of death. Now, perhaps this pandemic has started to challenge that to some extent for us, or begun to. You know, certainly God's word here is clear, is it not? Our lives are fleeting. Death does await us. Now, is this just morbid? Is this just depressing? Is the Bible kind of just depressing? Well, I'd say it is serious. Yes, it's serious. This is serious, but you know, it doesn't need to be depressing. For one thing, what does it do? It tells us that all those things, all those worries, all those fears that sometimes consume us and threaten to control us, they belong to that which is fleeting and temporary and passing away. Right? Our confidence, our security, where does it lie? It cannot lie. It cannot lie in our circumstances, no matter how good or how bad they may be. But that is okay because they can lie or rest in God who is eternal. Our confidence can lie in God who is eternal. We need God's big, eternal perspective on life, don't we? Okay, now let's continue with our perspective gaining. Verses 7 to 12 here. God is the one we should fear. Verses 7 to 12. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's all about perspective, you know. The struggles and the transients of life, they're not just the random result of life in the universe. Behind it all ultimately lies, as we read here, the anger and the indignation and the judgment of God. Right? It's not just that we die, all of us, but we die because of God's judgment on humanity, because of sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, when it says we return to dust, that is because of God's judgment upon humanity. Right? We are all, look at Romans chapters 1 to 3. There's no question. We are all, every one of us, you and me, we are disobedient sinners. We all do things displeasing to God and we deserve his judgment. It's just the reality. That's where we stand. It doesn't matter how good we might be, and some of us are pretty good at pretending, you know, that we're all pretty good, but even our secret sins, God sees it all, right? He is the one we should fear. He is the one we should fear in that right sense. Now, that doesn't mean that our worldly worries don't matter anymore, right? But there is a sense in which they fade into insignificance as they serve as signposts towards that which really does matter. You know, as sinners, as this is who we are, as sinners before a holy God who hates sin, right? He is the one we should fear. You know, why is it then that we allow these temporary fleeting concerns to control and define us? Wisdom, it says here, comes from when we don't do this, verse 12, but rather when we number our days and remember who we are and where we stand before God. It is a sobering reality. And yet, it is so important because it is one which leads us to the only place where true hope is found. When we understand where we stand, it leads us to God. It leads us to His mercy. And that is the only place where true hope is found. Hope lies only in the merciful love of God. And that is where we go in this psalm. That's where the psalmist takes us. And that's where we need to go as the people of God. Verses 13 to 17. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we've seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of our Lord, our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You know, here it is, in the face of our personal sin, our brokenness, our inadequacy, and the anger of God, in the face of death and sorrow and the uncertainty and troubles of life, in the face of all of that, there is but one place we can turn, is there not? There is one person to whom we can turn. And you know, the wonder of it all is that it is when we get the wisdom that comes from knowing who we are before God, our big problem, that we're able to turn to Him in the way that the psalmist does here, because it's only then that we understand our desperate need for the mercy of God. And you know what? When we turn to Him, we find it. We find it, because that's who He is as well. You might imagine Moses, back to Moses, wandering through the desert, 40 years, right? Some of us here aren't even 40 years old. And he's got this whole kind of generation of the people of God with him. And he's watching them slowly die out as the years pass by. And here he is crying out to God. He's crying out to God for, verse 15, for gladness to match their affliction. God, give us a gladness to match our troubles. He's crying out in verse 16 here. He's saying that our children would know their God. Will our children know you? Crying out to God in this way. In verse 17, he's crying out that the work of their hands would amount to something. It's a hope from Moses here for something that can't be seen. He's wandering in the wilderness. But see, Moses is a man of faith. He's someone who knows that the eternal God, who hates and judges sin, he knows that that God, who's led them into the desert, is also the compassionate God of unfailing love, the faithful God who will never abandon them. He knows that that God is the same one who loves them. And so in that confidence, it is in that confidence, despite what he sees all around him, that he cries out in a psalm like this one. He cries out to his God because he is the only one to whom he can cry out. He's the only place where safety and security can be found. But think about it. If Moses in the desert, knowing what he knows about God, can yearn for and cry out to God in a way like this, how much more we? Because we know God's answer to those yearnings, don't we? We know about Jesus. We know how God has sent his own son and changed everything. Like God's answer to our yearning for mercy and meaning in the uncertainty and the transience of life, we've got Jesus. Now, We've got Jesus, but we're not in heaven yet, are we? Right? We're definitely not in heaven yet. Right? But God's beautiful kingdom has arrived with the coming of King Jesus. And in his life, we look at the life of Jesus and we see glimpses of life as it is meant to be. And as it one day will be in all its fullness when he returns, full of healing and joy and care for the downtrodden and all of those things. No more pandemics, right? No more sickness, no more crying, no more pain, no more relationship breakdown. Life as it's meant to be and life as it one day will be. And Jesus has shown us a glimpse of that, and one day he'll return, bring it in with all its fullness. And so today, what's that mean for us today? It means that today, like Moses, when he wrote this psalm, we yearn for that time. We yearn for that future. We look forward to that new morning of God's faithfulness, his unfailing love. Because of Jesus, we truly can sing for joy, like in the psalm here today. We can sing for joy with a gladness that far outweighs any temporary troubles, no matter what they might be. And I love these words from the Apostle Paul, writing many years after this psalm was written, as he was seeking to encourage, but still many years before today, as he was seeking to encourage some of the early believers in Corinth in the face of their troubles. He wrote this, 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. I'm going to finish with these words. He said, "Therefore do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, and yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, by day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are so thankful to you for your amazing love for us in Christ Jesus and for the confidence and for the security that you bring in your mercy and your love through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you. Lord, forgive us for those times when we allow circumstances, and those things of which we're afraid, when we allow those things to consume us or control us or define us. Lord, we want to fix our eyes on you, knowing that our hope rests in you. We thank you and we praise you, O God. Amen.